You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted the fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess Vegas can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone in public, excuse me.
I wanted my cake and eat it too. I wanted it both ways. Fame made me a balloon, cause my ego inflated when I blew sleep. It was confusing, cause all I wanted to do was be the Bruce Lee, a Bruce Lee, abuse ink. Use it as a tool when I blew steam. Woo! Hit the lottery, ooh wee. But with what I gave up to get, it was bittersweet. It's like winning, accused me. I'm blind because I think I'm getting so huge. I need a string. I'm beginning to lose sleep. One sheep, two sheep, going cuckoo and kooky is cool.
Good morning to you on a Friday. Mike McNamara with you. All Marine Radio. Tell you what we're going to do today. Talk a little food here in a few minutes, just to change it up. President tweeted out, "We're locked and loaded." My hunch is somehow he's trying to communicate to North Korea that we'll shoot. I thought the old Fire and Fury, I thought that was kind of lame. Didn't sound very ominous. I mean, not nearly as cool as Shock and Awe did when I heard that the first time. Like, whoa, what's that all about? Oh, it's the same stuff we always do, but we just hung a new name on it. Yeah, next week what I'm going to do is I'm going to see if I can track down some guys who can describe what conventional war in Korea would look like these days. I mean, it would be the closest to a near peer that the United States has tackled. I mean, Iraq had the, fifth largest standing army in the world? And not so much. That was not even sporting. Now, the Korean Peninsula won't be like Iraq was. They will fight. They're, by all accounts, they're well-trained soldiers. They've had close to 70 years to get ready for this. They've dug in their supporting arms north of the DMZ, which means they won't be easy to take out. So what does it look like? So we'll kind of look into that. Next week, but just all the bloviating and whatnot. There's message sending, certainly. The biggest, honestly, the crazy thing, and Grant Newsham was on yesterday. If you didn't catch that, you ought to go sometime in the course of your day today. Check out Grant Newsham's discussion. Should North Korea fire 4 intercontinental ballistic missiles in the vicinity of Guam, bracketing Guam, what does the United States do? Shoot them out of the sky? Let them splash into the water? Assume they're not going to hit Guam? So, I guess we'll find out. And the Chinese have indicated that here within the last 48 hours, that they are cautioning the United States. There are reports that say China has communicated to the United States. These are the words of an enemy. If they attack you, we'll stay neutral. Which is bullshit, all right? If you attack them, an attempt to overthrow North Korea's government, China will put an end to it. All right. What does that sound like? What does that sound like, and why would we continue to do business with that nation? That's an enemy right there. So the first thing is, if you conduct a preemptive attack against North Korea, we will stop any type of overthrow regime change that puts the entire Korean Peninsula in Western hands. That's essentially what's communicated. If they shoot at you first, we'll stay neutral, which is a lie. Okay, because if they shoot first and then we knock whatever they shoot out of the sky and then we commence the dismantling of that regime, China would enter into the conflict when they see that thing going south. Does anybody have any doubt about that? So I would think the first thing you would see is you'd see Chinese units move across the Yalu River at the commencement of hostility. So anyway, we'll talk about that next week. But one of the things that's interesting in talking about to Grant Newsham about all these headlines and whatnot is we didn't get here this week. You know, Donald Trump didn't originate this. You had this problem worked on by Bill Clinton for 8 years, George Bush for 8 years, and Barack Obama most recently for 8 years. And it has all led to this. And so I think history is replete with lessons of appeasement and not standing firm for the things that you believe in. And so I think the United States is guilty of following a path of least resistance over the course of the last 2 to 3 decades relative to a lot of different things. And I would look around and I would show you that or point out that the complete state of disrepair of our allies' military organizations. Okay. How on your ass NATO was. How on their ass NATO was. You know, the Japanese. Look, World War II's over. We got the memo. It's coming up on 100 years here. Get your shit together. Get your military together. Because we may need you as part of a coalition in the Pacific. And you can't say, yeah, we got nuked. We're out. Sorry, it doesn't work, man. Sorry about the whole nuke thing, but you started that shit. Now, build your ships, build your tanks, get your shit together. We need you to be a strong piece of this. Okay. So, how do we get here? How do we get here? So, good Friday morning to you. It is the 11th day of August, 2017, as we wake up to this thing that people have talked about for years. What about if that guy ever got a nuclear weapon? Well, folks, you're one day closer to it. So now do we just live with it and ignore him, thinking that, well, he'll never actually hit the button? And then we'll do the same thing with Tehran? Well, they'll never actually hit the button. None of the choices are good. You know, okay, so somebody sent me an email yesterday. Hey, why don't we just ignore him? So he's got a nuclear weapon. So what? What's he going to do with it? All his bloviating, all this discourse does is make him something that he's not. So his security is guaranteed by the fact that South Korea doesn't want North Korea. If there was some way that they could peacefully unify the country, that would be one thing. But we all know that's not going to happen. And I think most people are very content to go ahead and wait till that thing falls apart. And at some point, it will. Why waste the blood on a confrontation? Who wants it? So just ignore him. If he has a nuclear weapon, so be it. The only way it gets used is if some artificial situation is created in which he threatens something that he clearly can't threaten on a sustained basis, and we react to it. Ignore. Ignore him. Well, we've been ignoring him forever. We've been ignoring him forever. So, anyway, interesting days we live in. Interesting interview yesterday with Lieutenant General Rusty Blackman. He's the president and CEO of the Marine Corps Foundation, which it develops the whole concept of the National Museum of the Marine Corps. And one of the interesting parts of the interview is towards the end when we talk about how the reality has exceeded their vision. And I will tell you, one of the reasons to listen to it is I saw a story that the president, the new president of South Korea, came to the United States. His first visit, the first place he visited, National Museum of the Marine Corps. Like, what? Okay, well, maybe I should peel this back. Turns out his family was evacuated from the vicinity of the Chosin Reservoir in 1951. Yeah, how about that? By 1st Marine Division. 1st Marine Division took somewhere, you know, the vicinity of 100,000 civilians with them when they left. How about that? How about that? Over the course of, 70 years? What has that grown into after two generations? Yeah, somebody do the math on that. That's a lot of people that got saved. A lot of people that got created because those people got saved. Anyway, he's one of them. So he went there to pay the respects to the Marine Corps, and I asked him, you know, what's that like to be that kind of a place? He said, it's very cool. It's very cool. So, anyway, I'd recommend that to you. So what are we doing today? Gunner's going to join us here. We're going to find out about his Botox event yesterday. Mike gets Botox injections into his head for migraine headaches as a result of IEDs. So we'll talk about that real quick today. And then it's not going to be pleasant, but the Red Sox and Yankees play, so that means we're going to have to hate on each other. So I'm sure we'll discuss that. So Mike was going to be here in about 45 minutes after we talk a little food. Major Carl Forsling going to join us. United States Marine Corps retired. Now, he doesn't know this, but I just found out, reading a little bit about Carl, that he's an Osprey pilot. So we're going to talk to him a little bit about the Osprey that went in the water here last week. What is the pilot trying to do? So Carl hopefully will walk us through that. And then he wrote a book called wrote an article in the Gazette in May. And actually, I've been trying to get him on since May. He's a busy guy, though. So, yeah, exactly. Right. And the article is called Investing in Marines, Getting the Best Return. So Carl's retired. He writes for Task and Purpose on occasion. He is described in his own little bio at the end of his article as a senior contributor, senior writer, graduate of the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania and Boston University. So he's going to join us this morning. So it should be an interesting show. Thanks for listening. Whitney Houston makes it official on a Friday. Good morning. crushes that. Absolutely crushes that. And now to the rotunda of the National Museum of the Marine Corps. I can't remember the number of the officer candidate school class, but boom. Let me point something out to you. This is some parent recording this on a, I think it's on either an iPhone or something like that. So it's the resonant microphone in that. And my point is the acoustics in that building are incredible.
My fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
After 7 o'clock. Currently cloudy and 74 in Quantico. Mostly cloudy 82 at Camp Lejeune. Mostly cloudy 84 in Granbury, Texas. Mostly cloudy 64 in Big Timber, Montana. Montana man wasn't happy yesterday. Sunny in 81 in 29 Palms. Cloudy in 59 at Camp Pendleton. Cloudy, dark, and 80 at Camp Smith in Hawaii. That's warm. Clear, dark, 85 in Okinawa. Rock has cooled off, 103 right now in Syria. Maybe I should start giving the weather in Seoul. 68 degrees at the home of All Marine Radio. Looking for a high of 81 today. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, our Almond Radio chef is going to join us. He went and saw Dunkirk. He didn't like it either. Yeah, how about that? Didn't like it. Now, he's going to dial, try to walk that back, but I'm going to tell you, I just got off the phone with him. He didn't like it. And I said, bro, you got to, like, take it easy on Dunkirk, okay? Because what are you comparing it to? Well, you know, the other things we've seen. Saving Private Ryan. Band of Brothers. I said, okay, look, come on, man. That's big, big, big time cinema right there. Dunkirk, probably not. We'll talk about that next.
Oh, all you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nelson. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure, We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. BattleMug.com.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Test. This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't I get a rope and hang me? Hey, is this a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early.
Not that early. 7:28 on the west coast of the United States. And as he does on Friday, joining me is the official Allmarine Radio head chef, Kim Holmes. Kim, how are you?
I am fabulous.
What, why do you hate Dunkirk, man? What's up with you?
Oh, well, I don't hate it. But you seem to love to throw my ass under the bus at every opportunity. So, yeah, I'll take that role. Well, it was okay.
Okay, so, all right.
It was a historical movie, smartass.
So,
it had lots of references, good acting. I didn't think it went far enough with the evacuation of 400,000 troops with pleasure crafts and anything that floated, and that was the epic thing that happened. And Churchill didn't give his famous speech about we will defend our island to the last man and et cetera, and that wasn't in there. I thought that was an important part of the movie. They made references to it, but and the acting was great, but I wanted more scenes with how massive the evacuation was and how all those pleasure crafts, they just focused on one boat and cabin cruiser, and that was awesome. I got it, but I wanted more, baby.
Well, you know, you and Kim and I were talking before we came on the air. When you go down the road of doing anything about, well, I'll tell you what, any historically related, you know, movie now, you know, especially World War II, what you're going to bump up against is Saving Private Ryan and Band of Brothers. And those are not low bars relative to the quality of the work that those people did. I mean, it's as real as anything as I've ever seen. It's as well acted as any military movie I've ever seen. And the storylines are deep and rich, and the historical piece is played throughout. And so, you gotta be careful where you tread, man, because you're gonna get guys like Kim that say, yeah, man, I didn't like it because it didn't do me justice. So. And again, Kim's interested. Kim's interested. His dad flew a C-47 in the invasion. So, hey, here's a little bit of trivia. Did I ask you this? Of the 840 some odd C-47s that took off with the 82nd and 101st Airborne in them, how many came back after the first run?
About half of them.
No, 821.
Oh shit!
Yeah, I didn't know that. I saw that, and I didn't know that.
That's fabulous, man.
Yeah, it was an admin move, for God's sake.
Yeah, that was the
maybe not
the element of surprise, boy.
Yeah, yeah. Tell those guys that were flying in those planes that night. Yeah, we surprised them.
Hey, listen, the stories I heard of the flak holes in my dad's plane, his co-pilot had his head blown off. It's pretty horrific.
Yeah.
And the balls of those guys, well, they needed the big plane to get them off the ground. The paratroopers, the pilots had a .45 pistol. And that was it, the only armament on the plane. If the flight didn't get, basically.
Just in case those German fighters got too close. whip out that 45,
yeah,
stick it out the window,
yeah,
and let him have
ME-262 or a Messerschmitt or a Stuka or whatever they were.
Exactly.
But yeah, it was just incredible human beings, and all of them in their teens and early 20s. My dad was, I think, 20 or 21, his first trip.
Hello.
It just blows my mind. Just,
yeah, no. No wonder you hate Dunkirk then.
Well, I hate the Germans.
Come on, man. That was a long time ago. Get over that.
I have got over it, but can I do a little sidebar about the Germans?
No, of course, man. Go ahead.
Well, I worked in this restaurant in Italy.
Uh-oh.
In Florence, Italy. And she had, her husband was a prisoner of war. He was in the Italian resistance. And he got captured, and he spent a couple of years in a prison camp before the war ended. And she hated the Germans so much, every restaurant in Florence had to have their menu and prices posted in the front window, or she had hers tacked out on a tree in the patio in front of her restaurant for the summer. And she had one killer price list for German tourists. And then everybody else paid inside, and there were different ranges from students to Italian folks, and the students had the best price of all. And she was a great little woman. Lola Boca was the woman I worked with. But when I said, why are those menus on the tree so high? They're for the Germans. I don't like Germans. And that's always been stuck with me, that's all.
Well, you know, I mean, bottom line is that wasn't a theoretical event for those people. They lived through it. They saw it. And,
you're damn right she did.
Yeah, and you know, there was a lot of that after the war. Not so theoretical for those people. All right, now, we need to talk a little bit about food today. It's August. I want to ask you a question about shrimp, to start.
Yeah.
I had a hold on. I'm going to read an email real quick. Hey Mac, I took China's warning a little bit differently, and you made me rethink it now that you said that there's no way that China will allow the peninsula to become dominated by South Korea, which I think you're right. But the Washington Post ran a story with a very different slant. It says China has told North Korea that you are on your own if you attack the United States. And then also telling the United States, if you act preemptively, we will stop that. And then the email goes on. So I took it a little bit differently, but now that you say that, I believe you're right. There's no way the Chinese, even if the North Koreans were to act first and the United States were to retaliate, if the Chinese saw the peninsula going south just as they did in the 50s, I think they would move to intervene. Interesting. Enjoy the program. Can't wait to hear food talk this morning. All the best. Go Red Sox. Hey, screw the Red Sox, man. I hate the Red Sox. So, yeah. And they don't play too well against Yankees there, sports fans. They're like 2-6.
They're playing them today. They're playing the Yankees today.
That's right. Get the broom out in Yankee Stadium. The Yankees suck now, though.
Sweet!
The Yankees can't score a run. They couldn't hit
Sweet!
Right now. They couldn't hit water if they fell out of a fucking boat. They're brutal.
Stop it. Don't be a hater now.
I'm not. I'm just, I'll root for him. But, I watch him almost every day. And and that kid, Aaron Judge, who was so good in the first half, he's hitting 170 since that home run contest. Memo to the next kid. Don't do it.
Yeah, don't shoot your watch.
Yeah, it'll mess with your mojo. Don't just walk away. Okay, shrimp. So my little sister gets married over the weekend.
Yeah.
Okay, we're back in Indianapolis, and my son's there, my grandson's there, my whole family except for Patrick's there. And the sidebar story. Patrick's part of the helicopter company of 3rd Battalion, 5th Marine, part of 31st MU, which had the Osprey go in the water. Right? So what was Patrick doing when it went in the water? He was sleeping. And so, yeah, by the time you find out, he's, how did I know that?
Yeah.
He's like, nah, Dad, that wasn't, they were moving other people and, we were done. So I went and took a nap. I was like, God damn it, Patrick. John, we're at the reception. My son John can eat, right? Now, John worked for Kim starting at the age of 15 and, broken time for college in there and stuff like that. But John learned how to eat good food at Kim's joint. And John, it's like he doesn't have like a hollow leg. He's got like a hollow body. He just starts throwing food down. When he's old and retired, he will weigh 600 pounds, no doubt in my mind. Yeah.
But right now, he has to feed his temple.
So John is walking around. He's got his son with him. And all of a sudden, John spies kind of the shrimp cocktails that are on this hanging kind of chandelier thing hanging down with little holes in it. For all these little shrimp cocktails in a shot glass, right, with cocktail sauce at the bottom. So he walks over, and he's got like three shrimp cocktails in one glass. And I said, hey, where did you find the one with three in it? He said, I didn't. I made it.
That's my boy.
So,
that's my
cowboy. I said, wait a minute. You jacked other shrimp for your, he said, yeah, what am I going to do? Walk around with three shot glasses? Of course. I got Finn in one arm. I only have so much to work with that. I'm like, all right. The shrimp were off the hook. Okay. How do you find good shrimp? And what's the secret of preparing them, before you serve them?
Okay. Good question. Great question. Well, there are a couple of ways to get good shrimp. You can buy them fresh and not fresh frozen. Every once in a while, even in North Dakota, the supermarket will get in fresh shrimp. And they always look like they're fresh, but I said, are those fresh or fresh frozen? And they always answer because they know who I am. But because I've harassed them for 30 years.
Right.
But where you live, if you're near any water, any coast, you can take the time and go buy head-on shrimp, the whole shrimp. And if you're going to grill them, you grill them in the shell. You can toss them in a marinade of garlic or whatever seasonings you want and a little oil, and then you can grill them. If they're not real big shrimp, you can saute them in a large skillet of some type or a wok. But the key to good shrimp is do not overcook shrimp. You ruin the whole point of the greatness of the shrimp if you cook it to death. And it doesn't have to be rare, but it should be moist. And when you bite into a shrimp or tear the head off, it should be a little glisten to it. I call it the high pro glow. And when it has a little sheen on it.
Can I ask you a couple stupid questions?
No, you don't have stupid questions.
Yeah, you know that.
Go ahead.
Do I need to cook shrimp?
Yes, unless you're in a sushi bar, and then you can get a sashimi shrimp where they head it and devein it and lay it on a nori, a little rice thumb thing with a little wasabi, and then they lay the raw shrimp over it. And there, you can guarantee it's fresh.
Okay. Fresh.
Yes.
Okay. But when I do cook it, since I know I have to cook it, what are the cooking instructions? How do I do it?
Well, there's several ways. You take the heads off. You just twist the heads off. Right. You take the shells off, and down the back is the poop chute, the black vein that you'll see.
Right.
And you want to take that out and rinse it off, and then you pat them dry. Pat them dry, and you can toss them and whatever seasoning, like if you want red chilies, you can mix a little garlic. I always like garlic on my shrimps. But it's a pureed garlic. It's not chunky garlic. It's a mixture of olive oil and garlic. And you rub the shrimp with this mixture and then sprinkle whatever seasoning, salt, pepper, cayenne, whatever you want to make it your flavor preference. And then you take it in a hot skillet and you put them in for not more than probably a minute aside, depending on their size. But they cook really quick and they go from that opaque, raw color look to a pink, a reddish pink. And that's what you want to do.
Okay. How long is that going to take me?
It'll, after you get them all prepped.
Right.
You can throw them all in at once. You don't lay them one at a time because by the time you get the last one in, the first one will be overcooked. So you just dump them all in, you stir them around real quick, and not more than a couple of minutes. You'll see them turn the red color.
Right.
And that's exactly what you want to do. And then pull them out. And then they should be just the Luxorama.
Okay.
Please, please, folks, don't overcook them. I'd rather have you, you're not going to hurt yourself if they're a little opaque inside.
Right.
It won't hurt you, but it'll be moist. And that is the essence of cooking shrimp, is not to overcook shrimp.
Got it.
Now there's another way you can do that. If you peel and devein them, and it depends on the size, but you can put them on skewers. If you use bamboo skewers, then you soak the bamboo skewers in water for no less than a half an hour so they don't catch on fire and you lose your shrimp and everything into the charcoal or the slipping through the grates in a gas grill. So, and if it's a metal skewer, you don't have to soak that in water. So that's my recommendation. and I think you will absolutely love it on skewers. That works very well. And you can, but you, unless they're like U eights or tens. Now, folks, when you see a U, that means under how many to a pound? A U8 is what we used to get, the U8 to 10s, and that's 8 to 10 shrimp per pound. Ooh. You can get the cocktail shrimps that are 30, 40 to a pound. And they're already peeled, deveined, and used generally, in fact, probably 90% they're cooked already. In fact, probably 100%. So you can just open the bag and start eating them like popcorn.
Got it. Here's another email. Mac, listening to Kim talk shrimp. I do live on the coast. I live in Florida. Is there any particular thing I should look for in buying fresh shrimp? So since we're talking about shrimp, anything in particular? If you do live near the coast, buying fresh, is it simply kind of a trial and error finding somebody who sells great shrimp, or is there a certain method to it?
There is a trust in your fishmonger.
Okay.
And fishmonger is a good word. That somebody who catches or buys fresh fish and sells. Now, they'll have it on display. You don't want to buy slimy shrimp, because that means it's been sitting around for a couple of days.
Okay.
But usually they'll, fresh shrimp will have the head on, and, you know, they need to be peeled or just not. That's your call. But, if you're living on the coast in Florida, there's a shrimp that if you can get your hands on, and it's seasonal, it's called spotted white shrimp. And they're kind of like spotted shells, little black flecks. And those, you might as well eat sugar. They're kick-ass good. But, do they live on the Gulf Coast or the Atlantic Coast?
He didn't say.
And, my guess is it's around Pensacola and that the northern part of Florida on the Gulf Coast, and they have superb shrimp around there. And there are a lot of people. If you like, you can go down to the docks when the boats come in and buy them right off the fishermen. And sometimes they'll set up a little scale. And you can buy those shrimp, and then you can freeze them whole. If you flash freeze them, you can pull them out when you need them. Or you can put them in a little tray, and then fill the tray up with shrimp, and then fill that tray up with water. And you'll freeze them in a block of ice.
Yeah.
That's a great way to preserve fresh shrimp. But for me, you find out how long the season's running, and then you take the time and you go down and buy them when they come in, find out when the fresh fish or shrimp come in, and then you buy the hell out of them, and eat them all. I don't know. Do you? You know, I have a little side story. At Sanders, my restaurant, where John worked, if I would do these monstrous platters with around 100 shrimp on them, and it would be like a private party, and we're done with the appetizers, and I brought the appetizers that were sitting out back to the kitchen. It was hard to find a server because they were bust tough dining over the shrimp. They were pushing each other out of the way trying to get to the shrimp cocktail.
Hold on. Explain to everybody what bus tub dining is.
Okay. There was a rule in the restaurant business. I know it doesn't sound appetizing, but when you have it a buffet or something, and like it's pate or shrimp or crab dip or whatever it is, I sit it back on the bread table because I know what's going to happen to it. It'll never see the cooler anyway. So I just let the kids eat that. It's a bonus to them. But the bus tub, sometimes, we do these big 8-to-a-pound shrimp, and they were served over sliced avocado, and they had garlic and oil, and I grilled them in a cast iron skillet, and then I covered it with a beurre blanc, that is a butter wine sauce, and there might be one or two on a plate that haven't been touched, and you can tell it, or moved around or anything, and those never see the garbage can, and they're eating right off the bus tub. I didn't do it myself, but I saw hungry dishwashers and servers scarf up those shrimp. They were the number one. Steak, everybody left it alone because usually people would take it to go. But if they didn't get it to go, it was gone. And that is the essence of bus stuff dining. Not the most appetizing.
But trust me.
I'm just being honest. I'm telling you how the kitchen back of the house works.
My sons were both comfortable with it. It's like, no, Dad, you have to learn how to do it, you know, so it comes back, you know, it comes back, the busboys bring it back, you see a nice piece of steak, you cut away the part that's been gnawed on, and you eat the rest. Like, what's the problem with that? I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with it. I've ate worse than that.
When you have medium rare filet mignon coming back,
yeah,
and it's been half of it been eaten, and they don't want to take it home. Well,
hello,
Jersey rules, baby. You make them. you know. but the shrimp, I had a dish. We were visiting Beth's niece and her family.
Hold on. I got an email for you that you need to answer. We got about 5 minutes left.
Okay.
Mac, I'm curious. The spectrum of shrimp is relatively wide, and I'm curious. My favorite shrimp dish, I think like many people, is scampi. Is there a type of shrimp that is best used for scampi? I know it should be bigger. And what is the difference between shrimp and prawns? I never understand the difference. They look to me very, very close, if not exactly the same. Could Kim explain? Kim?
Yes.
Go ahead.
We'll start out with shrimp are usually smaller. That was a good assumption. Prawns are bigger. And that's basically the difference. Now, you can get a monster shrimp called a longestine, and they're usually caught off Madagascar in the Indian Ocean. There's some of them. You can get them in the Mediterranean, too. But they can be up to a foot long.
What?
These shrimp. Yeah, what? Yeah, it's like eating a lobster.
Wow.
A lobster tail, but they're shrimp, and they're called longestines. And I know you'll have to look it up. I can't spell it.
Okay, so the only difference between a shrimp and a prawn is the size?
That's how I would look at it, yes. But you have large shrimp, too, but the craze in Asia, and they're big shrimp.
Okay. All right, now, what would you make scampi out of?
Okay, you make, if you could get about anything from a U-10 up to a U-16, that's 16 to a pound, to 10 to a pound, any of not that size in that range, you know, they have U-12s, so on and so forth. And then you take the shells, you devein them, you peel them and devein them, and you pat them dry, and then you rub them with garlic puree. And for me, it's almost a crust. I like garlic so much. But use your taste buds to tell you how much garlic puree you put on there. And then you get the skillet real hot. And you drop those prawns in, and that you flame it in white wine. That alcohol will burn off. You see, should be cooked by that time. Then you add butter, lots of butter. That's a big key. And then a little squeeze of lemon juice right at the end. And then, you can put, most people who have scampi, that's in a little boat, and so it, the shrimp pool and the garlic and butter, and, you take a little piece of bread, or some people will have a side of, pasta, whether it's, Alfredo or whatnot, and, you know, you take a swirl of pasta, and you can take a piece of the shrimp and combine that. But me, I just like the scampi with a little butter. I mean, a little bread.
All right.
To mop up everything. My scampi, you
okay.
Pretty much use the plate again. It's so clean.
That's not, all right. All right. First of all, drive careful. I know you're driving, so drive careful, and we will talk to you. I'll talk to you later on today.
Oh, man, I was having fun.
I know, you're done, man. Sorry. See you later.
Oh, God. Put a fork in me. I'm done.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
Say goodbye to everybody.
Goodbye, everyone. Dude. Have a good weekend.
All right. Drive safe. We will talk. There you have it. That is the All Marine Radio head chef, Kim Holmes, making you smart about scampi. I thought prawns were different. A foot-long shrimp. How about that? All right, when we come back, we will be joined by Carl Forsling. He's a retired major in the United States Marine Corps. He's a former Osprey pilot. And written a book called Investing in, written an article in May's Gazette, we're just getting around to it, called Investing in Marines, Getting the Best Return. So we will talk to Carl next on a Friday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.